Unfiltered, the official Sunderland AFC podcast.
Hello everyone, it's been a little while, but welcome to SAFC Unfiltered, sponsored by Alpha Security. Myself and Danny are back at the Academy of Light, and we are going into the business end of the season. We're very much amongst it at the moment, aren't we, Danny? You know, the final two games.
Yeah.
We currently find ourselves in the playoff positions. It's all on, isn't it?
It is indeed, yeah. And obviously that could change before, I think we play on Saturday, a couple of midweek fixtures, but we're taking care of business. You know, we had to dig in at the weekend at West Brom, got over the line, got the 3 points, keeping the pressure on the teams in and around us with a couple of games to go. So it's all to play for.
And we're still playing really good football as well, aren't we?
Yeah.
Despite all the injuries which have decimated the side this season.
Yeah.
We're still scoring goals which should be worthy of goal of the season.
Well, yeah, there's a few in there, isn't there? But yeah, I think if you look at the weekend, you know, we lost Danny Barth, obviously. You've lost the experience in the team. Obviously, Alex Pritchard on the bench. And the lads just get on with it. You know, a young team out there. Thought West Brom started really well as well, but we weathered the early storm and got the ball down. And as you say there, we played our football. Some excellent performances individually and as a team. And obviously Dennis stepping up with the goods keeps us right in amongst it. So yeah, let's hope the lads continue now for the next couple.
Much has been made of Sunderland's young side this season, and we're going to be speaking to one of the stars of that young side. Trey Hume joined from Linfield in Northern Ireland in January 2022. It took a little while to get into the side, but he's been one of the first names on the team sheet this season, hasn't he?
Yeah, no, he's had to bide his time, like some of the other boys, really, some of the other young lads coming in, especially last season, changing manager a couple of times, and he's got his head down, he's had to work hard, and he's got his place, and he deserves it. He's been excellent. He's had to adjust to positions, you know, moving centre-back, right-back. I think he's played at left-back as well, but he looks composed, calm, gets up and down the right-hand side. He's got a good leap on him in the air. He loves a tackle, and you can see how the fans have taken to him, and I think the more games he's played, he's become consistent, and he looks assured out there.
Let's head inside then and speak to Trey Hume. Welcome to SAFC Unfiltered, Trey Hume. Trey, how are you doing?
Yeah, I'm very good. How are you?
Very well, thanks. It's great to have you on the podcast. It's been a little while, Danny, isn't it, since we did a podcast?
Yes, but yeah.
It's great to have Trey on because he's been one of the star performers this season.
He has. He's been consistent, I'd say, in recent weeks. I think 20-plus games under his belt off the bounce and performing well, which we'll get onto. Fluttering between positions, left-back, right-back, centre-back. But no, he's been at it. He's been good.
Yeah, I guess, Trey, you must be still buzzing from that weekend's victory.
Yeah, definitely. You know, it was a good win. Obviously, I'm delighted for Luke, first and foremost, and having his kid and coming and sacrificing himself for the team. And then, obviously, delighted for the fans and delighted for the team to obviously get ourselves in that promotion spot coming the end of the season.
Yeah, you're a centre-half now. How are you finding that?
Yeah, it's a bit different, but, you know, I don't mind it. I'll play wherever I need to play for the team. And, you know, I'm willing to sacrifice myself to play there. And, you know, I'm happy doing it.
Let's look back at the season then, that we can start to look back, even though, you know, we've only got a couple of games of the normal season remaining. But is the Championship what you expected it was going to be, having played in League One?
I would probably say so. Obviously, I didn't play come the start of the season, so I got to watch the lads basically playing stuff like that, and you could see how well they were competing. So obviously, I know if I'm training with them every day and I'm competing and training, I should be able to compete if they're competing. Do you know what I mean? So whenever I got my chance, I thought, you know, I should be all right. There's nothing to be fearful of, really.
What are the kind of changes or the differences between League One and the Championship in your experience?
Tactically, it's much, much different. You know, there's some teams in the Champ that can pass you off the park, really.
Yeah.
In League One, that's much different. You don't really get much teams like that. It's more battling and fighting to get the 3 points.
Physical games, yeah.
But in the Championship, you have players that can, even one player that can tear you apart, really. If you don't lock them down, so it's big difference in quality there.
Did you notice that, Danny, from the Premier League to the Championship, the class of quality difference?
Yeah, I played all the divisions, really. I think, obviously, lower down League Two, especially, centre-back, you're heading 40, 50 balls a game. You know, it's a physical battle. You've got to take care of that side of it. And as Trey mentions there, and people ask you, the higher up you go, especially Premier League against the top teams, you don't really head too many balls or so in and around your feet. But in the Championship, as you say there, you're looking at the teams at the top end, obviously watching Luton last night, they've got two big units up the top, which they play to, and you do, you use your strengths. And at the same time, you've got the footballing teams as well. You know, Burnley have adapted really well under Vincent Kompany, gone from what you'd say are a typical 4-4-2, get it forward to Ashley Barnes and play. All of a sudden now, they're a passing team, Sheffield United as well, and it works for certain teams. And I think that put us in that category as well. But you have to have that physical side, and you have to match it as well to so earn the right, really, in a way, trade, don't you?
Yeah, definitely. You know, whenever we played against Luton, you know, obviously we drew, but they had two physical strikers and I was playing right back, and you're kind of thinking, he's peeling on to me, how am I going to deal with that? But you just have to basically win your battle first and foremost, and then the talent and your technical ability will take over.
I was
really
thinking that watching Luton last night, actually, if, you know, looking ahead, if we did get to the playoffs, if we come up against Luton, and it's interesting at the minute, obviously Danny's picked up his injury, and Dan as well, Dan Ballard, the two recognised centre-backs, big physical units, but then obviously Trey's gone in there alongside Luke. Not really either of centre-backs, are they? But you both got decent spring in the air, but it's that physical battle, really, you'd have to have a look at when you're up, coming up against them, if that was to happen.
Yeah, definitely. You know, they're obviously much bigger than me and Luke, but I think me and Luke together, we're both aggressive.
A challenge, Trey, and the Sunderland fans like that about you.
Yeah, you know, it's basically the way I was born. I didn't really... It's the way I grew up playing. I always liked to tackle. I always liked to get stuck in, you know. I always thought if you get stuck in and you fight first, you'll basically win. If you want it more than that other person, you'll take over, basically. And it's just the way I've always been.
Yeah. Then you look back at the one at Wigan, wasn't it, on James McLean out on the touchline, because you'd just given a foul away, and you're about 20 seconds before, and I thought, he's got time this one here, and he good bit of the ball, little bit of the man, the nice them ones.
Yeah, it's good getting the ball and taking the man away, but sometimes you mistime it. Like the one against Sheffield United, I mistimed it.
Yeah.
You know, it was close, it was a yellow, but it was... I was saying after the game, it was probably a yellow and a half.
Yeah.
It's in between
orange
that, so.
Card.
He thought it was harsher than me, but I was defenders
it's
union.
It's a bit of a yellow and a half, but, you know, sometimes you time them right and sometimes you don't. It is what it is.
It is what it is. Let's speak about how you first came to come to Sunderland. It was back in January 2022. Tell us about the first approach and when you found out Sunderland were interested in you and how it felt.
Well, obviously, I was mid-season around Christmas time playing games, and obviously, I knew Stuart because he's from Northern Ireland, so I got a few words about it. He didn't come to me straight away, but I got a few words about that Sunderland were interested, and then I had a meeting with Stuart, and I had a Zoom call with Christian and that, and, you know, obviously, I knew they were interested then, but I also had other teams after me, so I was kind of waiting to make my choices, and then when it came... I had basically full of December to think about it, think about what club and stuff like that. And whenever I came over, I came and watched the Sheffield Wednesday game. We won 5-0. And I thought, there's no way I can't come here. Like,
yeah, what did you think of the ground and the fans? Was it that?
Yeah, it was that good. You know, I came and watched the game. There was close to 40,000 there against Sheffield Wednesday, who were also up the top of the table. And you're winning 5-0, and it puts us top of the table at the time. And I was thinking, like, how can I not come to the top of League One? Fans, I guess, in the stadium, I guess, in structure, I guess. It was a no-brainer, really.
That's excellent to hear, isn't it?
I was going to say as well, obviously, it was Lee Johnson was in charge, wasn't he, when you've signed. And then I don't think you've kicked the ball. He leaves the building, Alex Neil comes in. So obviously, how what's your thought process there? Because obviously, you've signed, you've probably had a few chats with him. You're obviously training, I think. And then all of a sudden, he's out the door and Alex Neil comes in.
Yeah, obviously, I've signed and Lee Johnson's telling me the way he wants to play, his plan and stuff like that. You know, I've came here 2 weeks and he's gone. And then obviously Alex Neil's come in and he probably doesn't have a clue who I am, because obviously I've came from back home. So obviously I'm thinking he's not really going to play me unless I impress him in training. So I always tried to do that. And so obviously I worked out a wee bit. I got a few games under him, but I didn't really get the run of games that I wanted to. And then obviously come the next season, we're in the championship and then he leaves and we've got an new manager. It's kind of... roller coaster, isn't it?
Yeah, it's difficult, isn't it? Because I think he takes over and he's probably, as you mentioned there, won't know too much about you coming in from Linfield, but then he's probably thinking, I've got to get us back on track. We'd had that heavy defeat at Bolton. I think Mike Dodson and Proc took over. We lost a couple. I think you played in one or two of those, and then he probably reverts back to, who are the experienced lads? Let's get them back in the team. So probably frustrating for yourself. I think you only had 3 appearances, didn't you? And unfortunately, you come out of the team. I actually thought you'd done okay in a couple of those games as well. But coming out of the team, do you have to try and get your head around that a little bit, or just a case, as you say there, just try your best, try and impress on the training pitch?
Yeah, you know, you can get frustrated. I was definitely frustrated at times last year not playing, and obviously it's hard, but for me, I always, in my head, I always want to train right no matter what, even if I'm annoyed or not, you always train right. But obviously not all players are like that. Some people don't even want to train even if they are in the team, but I'm always training at 100%. And obviously it was a frustrating, it was obviously a great year last year getting promoted, but for me personally not playing, it was a bit frustrating.
Yeah, you feel like a bit part, don't you?
Yeah.
You know, most players have been there themselves. Yeah. Did you know any of the lads before you come in? Obviously Corey or Dan Ballard this season.
I didn't really know anyone, but I knew Winnie. Obviously I knew Carl Winnie. Yeah. I knew his brother. I played with his brother back home. And obviously whenever I was close to signing, he obviously dropped me a text, and obviously I knew his brother and kind of kept talking after that, and it was...
And was it all good stuff you were hearing from Winnie?
Yeah, definitely. You know, Winnie, if you don't know Winnie, he's a great laugh. You know, he's buzzes about the place. He always puts a smile on people's faces. So I knew whenever I came here, he'd look after me, and it was... He definitely did.
Coming to try and take his position as well. Like, the flying right back, wasn't he?
He was there for a while, wasn't he? Hey, Trey, at the weekend, the average age of the side was 22 years, 178 days. That's the lowest average age of a squad in the Championship this season. How does it feel to be part of that? And do you find when you're out there, you're looking for experience around you, or is it more of a case of you're all similar age, you're all in it together more?
Well, I think you definitely need a few experienced players out there. You know, we had Gucci and we had Luke O'Neill there in the back line, which was important, obviously, to talk. I think Gucci led the team excellently on Saturday, or Sunday, should I say.
He did, yeah.
And, you know, you need them few experienced players, but you have lads in there. Look at Dan, they just played over 100 games for the club, so he's not really inexperienced, if you want to put it that way. It's the same with Pato. Pato's probably played a lot of games for the club, so it's... I wouldn't say there's obviously some players that are inexperienced, like myself. I've only played 30 odd games in the Sunderland shirt, so, but there's a lot of the young lads that are experienced, the likes of Dan, Neil, Pato, that have played plenty of games for the club, and they know what it means to the
club. They've kind of had to step up, the players like Dan, hasn't he, in the absence of Corey. And you know, you could look all around the pitch, couldn't you? Everyone's had to step up. You've got Pierre starting at the weekend. He's on, that's what, fourth or fifth game in men's football, but everyone did so well, and you all look so assured on the ball, especially.
Oh, we know we can trust each other in the ball, because obviously we've a lot of great players, even attacking players. I think we have some of the best attacking players in the league, no doubt. But just trust each other in the ball, especially with me and Luke playing at centre half. You know, we're not really centre halves, but that can work in your benefit, because we can be better in the ball.
You used to be, used to handling the ball.
Yeah, you know, used to handling the ball under pressure, so that can be in your benefit, and we can keep the ball better. And I think we showed that, especially in the first half. How well we kept the ball, and we did have a few chances, but obviously their keeper made a good save off Clark.
Yeah, and injuries, of course, have been a huge part of this season, and you've had to adapt yourself. How do you get your mindset right, Trey, when you have to, you know, you find out maybe a few days notice that you're going to have to be a centre-half, or you're going to have to move around the pitch? How do you adapt, and what do you do, and can you do anything on the training ground?
A wee bit, but for me, it's just, you know, I take every game, but as it goes, you know, I think of that game and not the game after or the game before. It's just, you play a game, it's done, you think about the next one. And obviously leading up during the week, we train, so we know if players are feeling niggles or anything like that, so you can kind of prepare yourself throughout the week if you're going to maybe have to step in there, or if you're going to play your normal position. But for me, it's, you know, I'll just play wherever the manager wants me to play. I have no problem with it.
Now, Danny, you sometimes say this on the commentary and in podcasts, but do you think there's too much made of formations and positioning between fans? Or as professionals, are you quite equipped to go wherever you need
them? I think fans get a little bit more obsessed with formations more so. Yeah, first, it's obviously about the effort and the desire to go out on the pitch and to put a shift in. You know, you can talk 4-2-3-1, 4-3-3 at the end of the day. It's one or two players moving 5 or 10 yards. It's what you do when you've got the ball. You know, are you neat and tidy? Are you running about the pitch? So that all comes into it before the formations for me. And as Trey's mentioned there, you know, I just think you look at us, the spine of the team at the weekend, you've lost Danny Bart. You know, you haven't got Corey Evans in there, your experienced head, top end of the pitch. You've got Joe Gelhart, who's probably got 50 games under his belt, so we've got a young spine to the team. But it's the mentality, I think, at this moment in time, from the boys almost to roll the sleeves up and say things are going against us, but we're in a great position, we've dug in most of the season, and we're going to keep on going as we have done.
Is that how you feel, Trey?
Yeah, definitely. You know, for me, I feel like we're the underdog in the playoff race, really, because, you know, everyone else has got fit teams, they've got a big lot of players, some teams that came down from the Premier League in the recent couple of years, so we've only got promoted and we're up in the mix, really. So I think we are battling, we are fighting to try and push as best we can and obviously prove each other what we can do.
Trey as well, I was going to say, obviously, you know, I played left back, left centre half as well. It's a completely different role, isn't it? You've obviously mixed between both in recent weeks. You prefer to play right back, I guess, getting up and down the right hand side. Yeah. What's it been like for yourself playing with Ahmad in front of you and Patrick? You know, the link up between those two, and you go and get involved on the overlap as well.
No, it makes the game easy, doesn't it? Just if you're ever in trouble, give the ball to them and they won't lose it.
Five-a-side,
yeah,
the
they'll just
side.
Look after it. But, you know, whenever they have it, I want to let them do their thing because it's lovely, isn't it? You know, they move it well. So I kind of just back it up and in case they get in trouble and they can't pass each other, I'll be there just to bounce it back to them.
Yeah, an overlap now and then.
Yeah, an overlap now. But if I see it, I'll do it. But I usually just let them play because it's a joy to watch, really.
Yeah, how is that for you, playing with the quality of those players, in particular Ahmad and Patrick? Because I guess coming from Linfield, there wasn't an Ahmad there. So, you know, on the training ground, are they just ridiculous in terms of talent?
Yeah, definitely. You know, whenever Ahmad first came in, he came in, he started a bit slow even in training. But after probably say a couple of weeks, month or so, you can just tell how good he was, and it was just a matter of time before he got on the team and started showing up. But we all know what Patrick's like. Patrick was here last year. I think he's one of the best players in the league. He's really good. Left foot's a wand, really. You know, you give him the ball, he rarely loses it. He just looks after it. Him and Ahmad are just say a joy to watch. It's nice watching him playing 1-2.
It's not Jack on the far side either, is it?
I know, Jack's it's just unbelievable, isn't it? Jack's so strong 1v1 against his defender. Yeah. He rarely doesn't get past the defender. That's how good he is 1v1. Yeah. I know personally out there.
Yeah, I was going to say, training-wise, 1v1s.
Yeah, training-wise, he's always running at me, so I know how good he is at it.
Does that bring you on as a defender, playing against him in training every day?
Yeah, definitely. You know, he's so direct with the ball. He gets it and he runs past you, and you know he's fast, but he can also come inside and play 1-2s and stuff like that. So it's tough to deal with, but it only improves you as a player.
Yeah, because when you have the winger on the opposite side, you know, they want to come inside, so you try not to overcompensate too much, do you? And, you know, show him down that line a little bit. And I think this season, credit to Jack, he's done it a lot more. Last season, he didn't want to go on the outside, did he? But this year, he's mixed it up. He's gone down there and he's fizzed a few balls across with his left foot as well. So
yeah, definitely.
You found yourself around the pitch, though. You're quite good at getting into good areas. And you finally got your goal against Birmingham. How did that feel?
No, it was about time. It was probably more of a relief because I missed a few chances in games before. I missed a good one against, well, I say missed. The keeper made a good save against Hull.
Yeah, he did.
Saved it under the post, but obviously I feel like I should have had one before that, so it was good to finally get one.
There wasn't much of a celebration,
yeah, we were
though.
Say this, because you didn't celebrate too much. Was it to do with the timing? We just got back on level terms and it was right at half time, or we thought maybe Patrick was offside, but he headed it back across, didn't he, Patrick? And we're thinking, has the flag gone up? Because it was a bit muted, the celebrations.
Yeah. And he just kind of cracked on.
It was, I usually just do that. I'm not really big on celebrations.
You need to think of a celebration.
Yeah. But we made it one each, didn't we? And I didn't realise the time. I didn't know it was just before half time. So I thought, I'm just going to run back here and we'll try and get another one. But obviously it was just right before half time. So I probably could have celebrated, yeah.
Yeah. And how did it feel to score in front of the stadium of life?
Yeah, definitely. It was good. But obviously I'd rather it be a winner or a last minute winner, because obviously they're the best feelings, but yeah, I was delighted. It was good.
Just what is it like playing inside the stadium of light when it's rocking? There's probably going to be a sellout this weekend as we face our final league game of the season against Watford. What's it going to be like walking out in front of that crowd?
Yeah, I'm sure it'll be amazing. You know, if it's close to a sellout, it'll be bouncing, I'm sure. Obviously I remember the last Sheffield Wednesday playoff game last year.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable, yeah. So if it's anything close to that, I'm sure the boys are buzz off it and I'll be absolutely good.
Makes a difference, doesn't it, Dan?
It does, yeah. I was going to ask about the Tash, Trey.
I've got, well, in fact, I've got a, if Trey's up for it, I've got a bit of a Tash game you want to do. Do you know you've been recognised for the Tash?
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
Are you okay with the Tash? And it's trimmed today.
Yeah.
It was, I don't know, it was come Christmas time, I was shaving and I was just saw it and I was, you know, I might as well just leave it on the day, you know, I only leave it on for a couple of days and then I ended up playing well and a few of the boys are making fun of me and I just thought, you know what, I'm just going to wind them up, I'm going to keep it on.
Yeah.
So they just kept it on, they were just wondering when am I going to shave it off, and then
I think it looks cool.
Came to a point where I was like, it's going to have to go now.
There's not enough players have
bringing
a tash.
Bringing back the 80s, isn't he?
Trey's bringing back the tash, but I think you might have some kind of powers in that tash as well. I wondered if you're for a bit of a game, Trey.
Right? I'll play a bit of a game, yeah.
Okay, we need to measure your tash first. Okay. So I've measured that. About 3.8 inches, right?
That's his tash, yeah?
That's Trey's tash. It's a good job this is a podcast. Right. So I'm gonna ask you, Danny, you can play as well. I'm going to compare Trey's size tash to other famous mustaches, and you have to say if yours is bigger or smaller than this person. Right, so first up, with a horseshoe tash, maybe the most famous horseshoe tash, Hulk Hogan. Do you think your tash is smaller or bigger than Hulk Hogan's?
No, smaller, definitely.
What do you think? Smaller?
He had the
side
the
Hulk as well.
Yeah,
yeah.
Thing,
yeah.
Didn't he?
Yeah, that's got to be about five or six, the Hulks, hasn't it?
So Trey is correct. Hulk Hogan's is actually 9 inches because it goes all the way around. Okay, next person. Salvador Dali. Now, if you don't know Salvador Dali, he's the Spanish surrealist, but it was like a big twirly one.
Oh, he had the twirls on the end.
He had the twirls on the end. You haven't got the twirls, so you're going to say yours is smaller,
yeah.
Danny?
Yeah, smaller, isn't it? Yeah.
9.8 inches. It's a long tash, that, isn't it? Salvador Dali, so you got that one right as well. Next one, Ned Flanders off The Simpsons. Now, that kind of tash is called a paintbrush tash. It's quite thick.
Yeah, it's a good tash, doesn't it?
But it only goes along the top lip, so think about this carefully. Don't look at my notes. He's trying to cheat here. Is your tash smaller or bigger than Ned Flanders off The Simpsons? What do you think, Danny?
I think Trey's got this one.
I'm going to say smaller. Definitely thicker, but I'm going to say smaller.
You think yours is smaller?
No, his is smaller.
You think his is smaller?
Yeah.
His is just bigger by 0.2 of an inch. He's got a 4-inch tash, Ned Flanders. So I'm afraid. Yeah. There we go. Final one. Charlie Chaplin. Now, he has a kind of tash which is called a toothbrush tash.
Bigger.
You're saying yours is bigger than Charlie Chaplin?
Yeah.
You are correct. 2.5 for Charlie Chaplin, 3.8 for Trey Hume. So, well done. The tash.
Good effort, is, right?
Yeah. It's up there with some legends there, Trey. So, keep it going.
Yeah, I might grow it again.
Yeah, need it in its full glory if we get to the playoffs.
Yeah, and if we got, you know, to the playoffs and you had to walk out of Wembley, I think the tash is, you know, very fitting of such an occasion. Okay, then. Danny, over to you. Quiz time.
Quiz, yeah. Yeah, well, you've killed one of my questions a little bit. But, five questions, mate. General knowledge. I know you like the questions when they're floating around the training ground. We've seen you on the vids. First one on Sunderland. Sunderland moved to the Stadium of Light from Roker Park in which year was it? 1997, 2001 or 2004?
I don't think it's in the 19s. I think it's 2000s. Could be wrong here. We say 2004.
1997.
Is it?
It was, yeah, 97.
Before his time.
Yeah, to be fair, yeah.
Next question,
yeah,
Danny. For that.
Well, question number two. Horseshoe, chevron and pencil are all types of what?
Tash.
Tash. It comes back to the tash again.
You'd have got that one, would you?
Yeah.
Maybe, yeah. Maybe. The horseshoe maybe would have got me.
Yeah. There you go. He's off and running. Question number three. Who recently won the Masters Golf Tournament at Augusta?
Oh, I know this too.
I'm not. Do you like your golf? It. Bit of a golfer, or
a wee bit. I can play the odd time, but I'm not really that into watching it. But
I'll give you multiple choice. All right, you've got Brooks Koepka, Phil Mickelson, or John Rahm.
John Rahm.
It was John Rahm.
Yeah, I know you haven't heard his name. I get it. Yeah, I know it was him.
Yeah. Okay, well done.
Right, number four, U.S. states. No, he's shaking his head.
Are you going to America? You're going in America in the summer. So.
Right, which U.S. state has the abbreviation MD? Do you know the two-letter abbreviation?
Yeah.
MD.
MD.
You got this?
No. It's going to have a meaning behind it.
Do you want a clue on this one?
Yeah.
Do you want a clue, Trey?
Yeah,
of course. Cookies.
Oh, I think I know now. It's in Maryland.
No, Maryland.
Maryland.
I'll give him that one. Yeah.
Okay. Cookies. I had to think. I don't know. He was giving me a two, and I still didn't know.
I was trying to help you.
Question number five, last one. A little bit of a thinking.
What's
one.
What's he on? Two, by the way.
He's got two. Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Paul is a butcher. He's 6'4" tall.
Oh, I hate these questions.
He wears 34-inch waist jeans, and he's got size 10 feet. But what does he weigh?
What?
Do you want it again?
6'4".
I hate these questions.
34-inch waist.
Ten.
I'll give you once more. Right, Paul is a butcher. He's 6'4" tall. wears 34-inch waist jeans, and he's got size 10 feet. But what does he weigh?
I think I've worked it out.
Yeah. I have a scuba here. I'm not smart.
Well, I think this might be a play on words, Trey.
This is a 1% club based, isn't
it? Is it? Oh, you like that game?
How did you get it so quick?
Because he throws these ones in every now and again. You're doing really well, by the way. Christian Speakman got 0 out of 5 on this quiz.
Do I have to do like math or something to get this? No.
The answer's in the question in a way, isn't it?
Is it?
Yeah. No go?
6'4". He's a butcher. Nah, I have no idea.
Ooh. Come on then, Danny. Put us out of our misery.
He weighs meat. He's a butcher, isn't he?
That's a good one.
No,
you
like
that.
All right,
he likes that. He's going to go straight down the changing rooms in a minute and fire that at the lads.
Weighs meat.
2 out of 5.
Yep, 2 out of 5.
About average.
Off the road, really, yeah.
About average, yeah. The smartest was Gucci.
Gucci, 5 out of 5.
Got 5 out of 5 in his quiz, yeah. Can you believe that?
Yeah, a wee bit, yeah.
He's a captain at the minute, you have to be careful what you say.
Skipper.
Don't want to get in trouble.
It's almost time for the run-in. Final two games are upon us, Trey. Is there real belief in the dressing room that you guys can get in and amongst it?
Yeah, definitely. I don't see why there wouldn't be. You know, we're in sixth at the minute, and obviously we have 2 games left, and hopefully take 6 points from both the games and give ourselves the best shot. But obviously, is it Blackburn and West Brom have a game in hand, so obviously if they win that, then it takes it out of our hands. But if they don't, we're going to try and put ourselves in the best position to finish it.
And a message to the fans who can help you get over the line, what would you say to them?
Just come to the game on Saturday and show your support. You know, the lads will benefit from it. You know, whenever the stadium's packed, it only pushes the players on more, and obviously we're going to try and get promotion, so push us on.
Thanks so much, Trey.
Cheers, Trey.
Cheers.
Thanks.
Trey Hume there speaking to us here on SAFC Unfiltered, and he's right. Those 2 games, the fans are going to play their part. The players will respond, won't they, as well, to the noise from the terraces as well?
Yeah, it will, yeah. And you think, you know, looking ahead to the game at the weekend against Watford, it almost will feel like a playoff game in a way. You think they're expecting north of 45,000 to be in the stadium alight. So they need to get behind the boys, good noise early on, and try and push them on. Do our job, really, as we said there. You've got to take care of your own job, get 3 points on the board, and then can we take it to that last game of the season at Preston, needing 3 points to get over the line. But yeah, as Trey said there, he's enjoying his football. Took him a while to get into the team, but he's enjoying it now, and he almost feels at home, I think.
Yeah, he seems like quite a calm, measured character as well, doesn't he? But he's obviously enjoying his football here at Sunderland, and it was really nice to hear that he came to that game against Sheffield Wednesday. Yeah. He was blown away by the supporters and then was given a tour of the academy, and it was just, wow, this is the club for me.
Taking to it. Yeah, that's right, yeah. And I think, you know, he'll be looking forward to it. As you said there, he seems quite calm, doesn't he? Mature. He's only 21 still, and still young. You know, you forget he was playing at Linfield. I think that was his first season, only 30-odd games under his belt at Linfield, and then it's a step coming to the stadium of light. You know, I've done it. A lot of players have. You have to get used to the surroundings, the fan base, you know, obviously match day experience, everything. But he just seems to take to things. And no, I think that's, as I said earlier, it's shown in his performances.
Okay, then we go into the final 2 games of the season. Hopefully we can squeeze in another pod before the end and before everyone goes off for the summer. And who knows, this season might be extended as it is, as it stands at the moment. Anyway, thanks for listening. Remember to subscribe in all your usual spaces and places to SAFC Unfiltered and be the first to get the next podcast. Thanks for listening. We'll see you soon.